Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Thursday, September 22nd. Field, Daniel, and Mike here. Today's show is presented by Geico. So Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Guys, football is here for week three. But most importantly, I got to start something off real quick.
Okay.
Mike, yesterday was a very special day, as you know.
Yes, it was Wednesday.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it was like a really like super special day, though, obviously.
Oh, clearly. Yes. You know. I know what you're speaking of.
Mike Downloads doesn't listen.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. Well, yesterday was Rosie's birthday. No big deal. It's just that her birthday is the entire week. No problem.
Going out this weekend. Yeah. Me and her.
Wow.
We're just going partying. That's all.
I love it. I was really excited. I asked her who her favorite football player was, right?
Okay.
Because I wanted to be able to get her a jersey. I've wanted to get her a jersey for a while.
Okay. Chad Pennington,
I assume. I thought about Chad Pennington, but they were actually sold out. I tried, but they were sold out in all the smalls. So what could you do? So I went through. I was looking at everybody. The other day, actually, we were playing football in the yard. Rosie and I do that sometime. And she made this awesome one-handed catch. Sometimes I call her Rosie Rue, right? Okay. So she made this catch, and she was like, yeah, I'm on Rue. What up? So I was like, shoot, that's it. So then I got a custom jersey made, number 14, Detroit Lions. It says Amon-Ru on the background. It was like my favorite thing that I could potentially give her. Anyways, I just wanted to say one more time, happy birthday to my wonderful girlfriend.
That's awesome. Happy birthday, Rosie. And love that idea. Although if she wears that in public, people are going to be like,
I know they're going to be like, who is Amon-Ru and what is this thing?
Like there's a typo on your jersey. Like what?
I say this because Mike, I went over to your house the other day and when we were in your basement, you have an entire wall that's just full of jerseys. So I'm starting Rosie with one.
Yep.
We're going to work up to the rest of them.
Couple thoughts here is first of all, thanks for the invite, Mike. Appreciate that.
Wow.
I was doing nothing.
You
last
always
weekend.
Say no when I invite you. So eventually you just stop asking. That's just how it goes.
Second of all, like you really must care about Rosie if you forgot her birthday yesterday and the show because you didn't listen.
No, I said we're going out.
Yes.
Yeah, but yesterday you forgot.
The gift is in the mail.
Oh, that's what it is.
Mail.
Yeah. I got her a Chad Penningrew jersey.
Stop it. I love you. That's so good. All right. Let's talk about some stuff today. We got a lot of football to cover. Lot of football to cover today. It is Thursday, which means we have Thursday night football, not something that we're necessarily super excited about with this matchup.
Speak for yourself.
Why not? Did you see Nick Chubb this past week?
Of course I did. So I'm excited about one player.
And I got to be honest, our good friend who the first person I texted on Sunday afternoon was Keith Lipscomb.
You don't text him after that.
No, I did because I felt so bad. So I just had to. I had to apologize on behalf of the Browns.
No.
But I mean, when something like that happens, you can't wait to get to the next game. Right. As a fan.
Short week helps. Yeah.
Right. Just so thinking about Keith. I know he's watching. We're going to get a win tonight. Get back strained out.
When something like that happens, yeah. I think I take the opposite approach. Rather than text them my condolences, I just try to avoid them as much as possible for the next
100%
week.
100%
agree. I don't even want to talk about it.
I somehow managed to delete Keith's number from my phone. He sent me like four emails asking for work assignments. Like, hey, you still haven't turned in your ranks? I was like,
I don't know what to say.
My internet's been out for 72 hours. I'll talk to you on Friday morning after you guys win.
It's an excuse to not do work. Yeah. I get it.
Maybe tonight will be a little bit better because it is the Browns taking on the Steelers. We got one lineup lock. I think we got one lineup lock for the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah,
And that is Nick Chubb.
Oh, for the Browns.
And that is Nick Chubb right now because he was absolutely fantastic. When you look at the Steelers, you also got Najee Harris. We have him as running back 12. Deontay Johnson, we talked about him yesterday. Wide receiver 18 for us. And how about Pat Freiermuth? If you waited on tight end, grab Pat Freiermuth over Cole Kmet, good for you. He is paying off big time, a starting tight end for you. But let's talk about the conversations that really matter here, guys, because when I look at the rest of this Browns team, Nick Chubb is the guy, starting him at running back, no question. But I look at Kareem Hunt, and when I'm looking at Kareem Hunt in the app, it says running back 10 next to his name. Did you guys know that? He's running back 10 through 2 weeks, and I'm going to dive a little bit deeper. He has 15 touches in each of the first 2 weeks, right? So when I see those two things, it's like, well, there's no way I can't play this guy tonight against the Steelers, but you guys have him ranked just outside the top 30. I have him outside the top 25 this week. Why are we low on Kareem Hunt against the Steelers in spite of just that visual test? Running back 10, I should have him in my lineup, right?
Yeah, and you could obviously make that case because even when he's played with Nick Chubb over the years, he's been productive, right? He's been at least an RB2, sometimes an RB1. So the problem is the thing I always run into, and I have this problem with Nick Chubb as well sometimes, which is consistent volume, right? Actually, we're seeing that. Nick Chubb had a down week one. And Kareem Hunt had a great week one. And then it flipped completely in week two. So which one's going to have the big week three is the question. But their snaps are almost identical so far this season. Chubb has 15 more carries. Hunt has 7 more routes and 2 more targets. So the passing game work is low, first of all, lower than expected for him.
Yep.
And actually closer than we anticipated, which might end up being good news for Nick Chubb, but not as good for Kareem Hunt. So I'm just worried about too many down games for Kareem Hunt. Might have big spike games, but if that passing game work doesn't pick up, he's going to have a lot of duds.
Yeah, and by the way, so carries aren't created equally. If Nick Chubb's getting the same number or a similar number of carries, he's been way more effective. Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable the first 2 weeks of this season.
A great runner, but like Nick Chubb is just different.
Yeah, Nick Chubb is. And then as Mike said, that's the more, I don't know about alarming, but the part that is slightly more concerning is that Kareem Hunt, part of the reason why he was super valuable in previous years was he might have gotten you 3.5 or 4 catches per game. That number has decreased through 2 weeks of the season. Very small sample size, very early as well. But again, we don't hate him. 32, running back 32, running back 33 here. Like, he's a fringe flex play. And again, as we discussed, I think, before last week's show, if you went hero running back or zero running back, Kareem Hunt's probably one of your starters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Might be a low-end RB2 for you. He actually is a low-end RB2 for me in a lot of the leagues where I went zero running back or hero running back from that standpoint. His teammate Amari Cooper struggled mightily in week one, but last week, 25.1 fantasy points against the New York Jets. Here's the good. He's got 12 catches on the year, which doesn't seem like a lot, right? Only through two games. But no other Brown has even 12 targets on that team. Amari Cooper is easily the guy field. If you're starting a wide receiver from the Browns, it's Amari Cooper. The question is, how confident are you starting in a Browns wide receiver in your fantasy lineup this week?
Semi. I mean, I've got him on like right on the fringe of being a flex play. You know, he's a really talented guy, that much as we've known for a long time. There's a reason why he was taken, what, fourth overall back in the day by the then Oakland Raiders. His quarterback play has been slightly better than I expected. I think Joe he was okay in week two. Wasn't perfect, but he was okay. And Donovan Peoples-Jones dominated the targets in week one. That came back down to earth a bit in week two. So it's not like there's any real threat to steal major targets in the passing game. David Njoku's been very quiet through two games for the Browns. So I think if you have Amari Cooper as your wide receiver three, he's a reasonable flex option. The Steelers don't super scare me on defense, especially with no TJ Watt to make life difficult for the offensive line. I'm okay with Cooper as a low-end flex.
Yeah, it's interesting. Last week, he had the dud, right? 17 yards, and we were thinking, okay, that's about as expected with this, you know, run-heavy offense, not going to score much, really poor quarterback situation. Yeah. We're going to have to deal with this. Don't start him. Maybe he's a flex if you're in trouble. And then he bounces back like this, right? And we're like, all right, now what do we do, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to think ahead. You know, it's, I don't know, what are we, week three, 8 weeks from now? We're going to look back and say, was this a fluke? Yeah. Was this just like a one game where he happened to be open against the Jets and put up a big line and everything else was kind of a disaster? Or can we expect this heavy volume going forward? And it's probably a mix of both, right? It's probably a mix of both. He does have a 28% target share. That's way up from what he had in Dallas. So I think you're going to have some duds. You're going to have some inefficient. You're going to have some efficiency problems. He actually is under 10 yards per catch, right? Yeah. So a lot of that short range, but that might be okay in PPR. So I've been kind of struggling with that. I think at the end of the day, you're thinking, Probably flex. I think he's going to end up.
That's what he's going to be, right? I think he's going to be, as you discussed coming into the season, right? He's never had a top 10 finish.
Right.
Never finished outside the top 30 at wide receiver for a season prior to this.
Points per game,
So you sort of figured that Amari Cooper will settle in maybe right around wide receiver 30, perhaps in a best case scenario, gravitates towards 25. He's fine. I think he's not, certainly not to the extreme of Mike Williams, because Mike Williams, I think, upside is way higher weekly, especially with his quarterback play, but he has some of that Mike Williams nature to him, where if like you're committed to Amari Cooper, you're committed to him through the good times and bad, right? You can accept that every once in a while you're going to get two catches for 17 yards because he might follow that up with 109 yards on six catches and a touchdown or whatever it was last week. So low end flex for me. In a perfect world, would I be using him? Maybe not, but I'm not sure anybody's roster is in a perfect world right now, especially because there are so few running backs that you can consider as a flex at this time of the year.
I have him 5 for 51 in the projection for this week. That sounds about right. That's about what you're hoping for.
2.7 rushing yards.
I'm gonna poo-poo you guys just a minute.
Okay.
Because like I hear you on Amari Cooper, and I think going forward, what we saw last week makes a lot of sense. But the over-under in this game is 38 points. And when I look at this team, if I'm here in week three and I need a guy that I can count on, like this just feels like a super low volume offense. And I get he's the wide receiver one. He's the guy that I want there. But there is a lot more hesitation for me than just like he's an easy flex play. Like I would look at Garrett Wilson or.
Sure.
I mean, there's a handful of other guys that I feel like maybe are in that same
tier. And here's the good news. I've got them ranked ahead of Amari Cooper this week. Okay. And Daniel, right, that's fair. We're at wide receiver 36. Yeah, Mike and I are. And you are all the way down at wide receiver
37.
So right, I actually think we're more in lockstep than you realize.
Fair. Yeah. Anybody on the Steelers? Anyone else outside of this?
Mike, can you make a mention of what Deontay Johnson could face tonight, cornerback-wise?
Oh, yeah. So I'd say decent chance he draws Denzel Ward shadow treatment. And the reason for that is in week 17 last season, these two teams played, and Denzel Ward shadowed Deontay Johnson, and it went well. Deontay Johnson was targeted 15 times, which when you see that, you're like, wow, it's been wide open, right? But we know they kind of force feed it to him, or at least Big Ben did. He had 8 catches, 31 yards, and bailed you out with a touchdown.
For 31?
31 yards and 15 targets is about as bad as it gets. The Browns have kind of struggled on the perimeter. A lot of that came last week with, you know, Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis had that long touchdown. They have struggled a little bit, but Denzel Ward, we know, is one of the best in the business. So that could limit his ceiling a little bit. You're not benching Deontay Johnson, right? Nope. If you're playing, this is probably advice for like showdown captain. If you're playing tonight on DraftKings, right? If you're playing that format, maybe you adjust your expectations for Johnson, but at the end of the day, you're starting him in 10-team, 12-team leagues.
And also, if you are the Steelers, you're starting Kenny Pickett. Yes. I mean, you're not actually doing that, but I am telling you right now that you should do that. That's my one commandment for the show.
By the way,
today,
what happened to Chase Claypool? Like, why did he go from Deebo Samuel in week 1 to just no carries and fewer targets?
It's because Najee Harris got hurt. They had to utilize him in the running game. I asked Field about this.
But he was playing early in the game, wasn't he? Wasn't Claypool getting those carries early on, too?
A little bit, yeah. Well, they were more like for trick
rounds and stuff.
I don't know. I think Patriots are pretty solid defensively, right? Although George Pickens claims he was open on 90% of the. See that quote? I was open 90% of the time, and I think he had one catch. Is that what it was on Sunday?
Kyle Pitts thinks that too.
Yeah, I was going to say all roads lead back to quarterback play here, right? So again, the Steelers are going to start Kenny Pickett. I'm not saying that as a statement of fact. I'm saying that as like, I've got a lot of things I'm working to manifest this week.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts is still my number one. Kyle, I got you. You got me. All right. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, Kenny Pickett starting, I think really would make a dramatic is probably too strong of a categorization, but I think it would make an impact on the value of these wide receivers because Deontay Johnson is scoring these points in spite of his quarterback play. I mean, he's making catches that belong in like the Cirque du Soleil, right? Like his body control is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Wait, I thought Mitch was your guy. Didn't we have this conversation a couple weeks ago?
And he's
ago?
Better than I thought he was. And didn't I tell you this a couple days ago? Like, I thought, was that off camera?
What?
I talking with Scott Clark and I was talking about how like, you just miss on things sometimes. And like my confidence in Mitch, it's my semi-confidence, was ill-fated. Mike Clay was right. In general, Mike Clay is right.
In general.
I'll take all that Mike can get. Let's not talk about the misses right now.
You want to pick the game real quick?
Just yours, not mine.
Yeah, so, wow. I get plenty.
Steelers, Browns, are you taking this?
So I forgot to put the score on here, so I apologize for this. I know it's going to mess everyone up, but I'm taking the Browns. I think they get back on track.
Right, I've got the Browns 9.2 and the Steelers 6.4.
I'm taking the Steelers in this one.
So Mike and I were on the same page last week. Daniel was the dissenter. You went with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Once again, Mike, I've got the Browns in a low-scoring affair over the Steelers.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, Mike, let's talk about what everyone wants to know, and that's wide receiver cornerback matchup. One of the best articles that we have here at ESPN every single week. You talk about positive matchups. You talk about minus matchups. This isn't about whether you start or you bench somebody. It's about being able to look at the matchup and, you know, is it a plus matchup? Is it a minus matchup? Where are we at? Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the Commanders. You want to know why? The Commanders have two top 20 wide receivers on the season.
Only two? Which one's not?
And Terry McLaurin is still on the team.
Wow, I was going to say Dyami Brown not getting the top 20.
How about Dyami Brown catching some shade from Amon-Ra St. Brown the other day?
That guy's on a mission, man.
Yeah, he is. Oh, I love it. All right. But we got all three of these Commanders here. Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and Jahan Dotson all taking on the Eagles cornerbacks, which is a tough secondary here. How is it that you're looking at these Commanders wide receivers heading into week 3?
Yeah, so we have to talk about all three, right? Because all three are fantasy relevant, at least at this point. So I'll keep this tight, but this is how I expect this to work itself out this week. Darius Slay shadowed Justin Jefferson last week. We all saw it in primetime. Went really well.
Right? Yes,
you did a great job against him. Since Slay joined the Eagles, they have played Washington 4 times. He has shadowed Terry McLaurin in all 4 of those games. Terry's done okay, 5 for 61, 7 for 40 and a touchdown, 2 for 51, 7 for 61. That's fine, right? Nothing.
That's actually
huge.
Pretty good. Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not any huge games. It's what you're trying to avoid. He's kind of contained him a little bit, but those are solid lines. So not super worried about that. They'll be on each other a lot, but you're still starting Terry McLaurin.
Wouldn't Darius Slay be on the best wide receiver for the Commanders?
Still Terry McLaurin.
Oh,
don't be
still
mean.
Terry McLaurin. Stop. All right, still Terry McLaurin.
So, and I'll get to that because Curtis Samuel has been crushing it so far. 20 touches already in 2 games, but he's in the slot. So he'll draw Avante Maddox, who is a fine slot corner. It's a fine matchup, though, for Samuel. He's been awesome. He's getting tons of touches. If you have him, you're going to start him this week.
I'd also add, Mike, that like so much of what Curtis Samuel is doing is really hard to defend.
Exactly.
Because it's like 1 yard of air depth, right?
Yes.
It's like, hey, there's Curtis Samuel catching a bubble screen. Oh, there's another shovel pass to Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if you have Deion Sanders in his prime, like no defense is defending it in a way that's just basically geared to eliminate the possibility of those catches taking place. It's about tackling those guys soon after they catch the ball.
Right, and that's part of why a guy like Darius Slay or even James Bradbury won't be on him, because he's moving all around the formation. That was always the thing with Tyreek Hill as well. He was in the backfield, then he was in the slot, then he was lined up at tight end, then he was outside. Like, I remember tweeting about this, and Casey Hayward actually replied, because they face each other a lot with the Chargers and the Chiefs, and I explained this whole thing about why Tyreek Hill doesn't get shattered, and he was like jumped into the conversation. Exactly. So that's just part of the deal, and it's going to be a situation here with Curtis Samuel as well. So he's fine to play. And then Jahan Dotson, he's the one I'm most worried about. We do not have him ranked. You do. You're from 45th. The problem is
45.
First of all, he's going to get he's going to get Bradbury on the other side of the field, who is a really good corner.
Yeah.
And he has a 13% target share. He's been really relying on them 3 touchdowns so far. We need more volume from Jahan Dotson for him to sustain this sort of production.
You know, I was talking about reunions with quarterbacks on Twitter because Carson Wentz, of course, faces off against his former team, the Eagles.
Yes, he does.
Interestingly, Derek Carr jumped in. Did you guys see this?
No.
Derek Carr, we end up going back and forth on Twitter a couple times. Did you see it, Mike?
No, I didn't.
I feel like this is a bit. This isn't real.
Wait, you don't follow Derek on Twitter?
I don't. Oh, so
that's tough.
Wait, tell me more.
So I'm still blocked.
What? Oh, man.
What?
I think I'm still blocked. Should I check this?
check it live. Let's just make sure.
Let's see if we got through to him yet.
That's really tough.
How great would it be the day that you get unblocked by Derek Carr? I'm going to be so fired up for you.
I don't.
Nope, nothing's coming up.
Dang.
You got Derek Carroll, Derek Carr, MHS.
You should just start tweeting at Derek Carroll and like Derek Carr 4 and like, you know, whatever. Like Dennis Clark.
This is so weird. I can't find Derek Carr on Twitter. It's weird he doesn't have Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to make this happen one day.
Someday.
Mike, with this, I just want to make sure, just to close the loop on this. Terry McLaurin, you still have him as a starter this week?
Yeah.
Yes. 22nd, starting him.
Curtis Samuel, it's still a flex starting play.
Starting him, 28th.
From that standpoint. And then Jahan Dotson is a
12-team flex, maybe. You're hoping for another touchdown. That's going to be tough.
Got it.
All right. Let's talk about Stephon Diggs, who put up an unbelievable game last week, taking on the Miami Dolphins. This is going to be a really exciting game across the board, just being able to watch these two offenses go at each other. But Stephon Diggs is going to go up against Xavien Howard. Is that going to be good or is that going to be bad, Mike?
Well, I mean, if you watch fantasy football now on Sunday, you're thinking, I'm not listening to anything this guy has to say about Xavien Howard. Because what I said,
he's no Mitch Trubisky, but he's a pretty good cornerback. Okay.
Speaking of getting stuff wrong. So, look, Xavien Howard's one of the best corners in the NFL. He hasn't allowed a good fantasy game in a long time, and he just got caught napping on that route. He was off coverage on Rashad Bateman. He was shadowing him in that game. Bateman went. Turned right on a slant. Jackson hit him in the chest, and he ran the entire way for a 75-yard touchdown. And obviously, he didn't do much the rest of the game, right? He got just over 100 yards and only played half the snaps. You know, it feels like the process was okay there, but the result was obviously not good. So apologies, of course, if you bench Rashad Bateman. And obviously, you're not benching Stephon Diggs. I actually wrote about this in the column. Technically, this is a tough matchup. Howard is going to shadow him. He's going to be on him 3/4 of the time. Stephon Diggs has had no trouble with him. His stat lines against him are 7-for-76, 4-for-16, a touchdown, 5-for-40, and a touchdown. He hasn't gone over 16 points, so Howard has some, you know, capped him a little bit, but it is a small sample. The guy is too good. We can't be too worried about
limiting
this.
The ceiling of Stephon Diggs, but still a plenty high floor, it sounds like, from past performances.
I feel like his ceiling is only like 38 points this week.
I know.
I might have thought 41 previously. Yeah.
That's one of the struggles with the column. It's like, technically, it is a tougher matchup, right? Facing Xavien Howard is harder than facing, the Detroit secondary, right? You know what I mean? It is. It's a matter of fact. But sometimes it doesn't really matter, right? Some guys are basically matchup proof, or even if it costs them a catch or two, they're still going to have a good fantasy day. That is the situation for Stephon Diggs.
And also, sometimes guys randomly have a dud against a secondary that you think is not that strong. Like, Devontae Adams had 2 catches for 12 yards last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had a touchdown, but still, like, if I'm not mistaken, Cooper Kupp gets an upgrade this week in your column, right, against the Cardinals. Now, he is used differently than Devontae Adams.
How do you upgrade Cooper Kupp?
I know, Mike, what did you move him to?
Like, I told you move him from first to zero with.
Okay, first to zero with,
You just don't rank him at all. You're just like, you're starting him. You don't have to worry about him at all.
If you were playing against Cooper Kupp this week and you had the opportunity to do this, like, you can't actually play his real points. your opponent just gets a 30. Would you take that? Or would you say that your opponent gets whatever Cooper Kupp actually gets?
Oof. I'd say at whatever he actually gets.
Yeah. I think you'd so too. To what's the number? 25? If I say, hey, Cooper Kupp gets 25 no matter what.
I would say whatever my projection is that week, I'd probably just take that. I don't know if I'd go much above that.
Yeah, I fade those most weeks.
So like 22, 20, yeah.
All right, fine. So, I mean, I would take 20. Like, trust me, I'm planning against him in the War Room League. I'll take 22. I'll take two from Cooper Kupp.
I'll take anything.
I will take, I'd be happy. I want Cooper Kupp to get a bunch of catches, bunch of yards. I want him to fumble 14 times.
That's what it is.
14 catches for 200 yards and 14 fumbles.
And not
fumbles.
His fault. That's all really great plays by the defense. Yeah, right? It's like, totally. None of that's his fault.
Byron Murphy just punching the ball out like last week or returning it for a scoop and score.
Dude. Speaking of which, he shadowed Adams last week and did a nice job. So we always pick on the Cardinals.
Do you think not to spoil the column, but you think Cooper Kupp's still going to be okay this week, though?
Cooper Kupp will be okay.
He will not be Byron Murphy.
Murphy plays on the outside, so he might shadow Allen Robinson. He's not going to shadow Cooper Kupp.
So you have Cooper Kupp just slightly ahead of Allen Robinson.
Just slightly ahead. First.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Tyler is still frustrated about the fact that Allen Robinson is only ranked this week.
Does he have 7 targets this year? That's weird.
Really quick question to close out this Bills conversation. Stephon Diggs is going to get Xavien Howard. If Gabe Davis plays, if he's healthy, does he have a good matchup on the other side of that? Is this a place where he can exploit it?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out that other side of the field right now because Byron Jones is on IR. So Keon Crossan, former Patriot, I think he was mostly a special teamer. He's on Giants, Texans too. He had a couple stops. It's been a struggle on that side of the field until Byron Jones comes back. So, yes, Gabe Davis should draw a lot of him. And
he returned to practice yesterday, by the way.
He's back at practice. Assuming he plays, we feel good about him.
Love that. All right, let's talk about the Falcons. Drake London, Alamide Zaccheaus, and Bryant Edwards taking on the Seahawks cornerbacks. Two quick questions. Have the Seahawks cornerbacks been on this list the first 2 weeks as well?
I think they have. Yeah,
they've
been featured in this column for obvious reasons.
Hold on. Second question. Okay. Kyle Pitts is basically a wide receiver. Does he not factor into this list because he's technically playing out of the tight end position?
Yeah.
Or does he fit? Okay.
He's moved all over the formation. I actually watched all of his routes because, like you, I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And I do think week two was kind of fluky. There was a lot of situations where maybe if a play was designed for him, Mariota was just pressured right away. But he's in line sometimes. Sometimes he's blocking. Sometimes they're setting up fullback screens and Pitts is blocking. I mean, naturally. Like, that's what how you win games.
100%.
Right?
So, who's their fullback again? Is it Keith Smith still?
Keith Smith.
Yeah,
it might be like Parker Hesse or...
Parker Hesse? Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Like, it might be... Like, you got to design plays for those guys. You
is there
get
a
the ball
single
in their hands?
Fullback in the history of the NFL?
Johnny Stanton.
That you would actually want to drop a screen for over Kyle Pitts? Like, I would think the most athletic fullback that comes to mind for me is probably Kyle Juszczyk,
He's an incredible
player, obviously. Yeah.
It's Peyton Hillis. Did he kind of fullback?
I kind of would consider him and Mike Allstott still running backs. Mike Allstott look like a fullback?
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's
going to change this week. We're manifesting for the record. You guys can thank me on Sunday night.
I just hope Arthur Smith, he did great things with Tennessee.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Falcons offense probably overachieving a little bit so far. So credit there. That comment was so ridiculous, though. It has nothing to do with fantasy football. It has to do with getting the ball in the hands of your star player that you took top 5 at tight end, okay? It wasn't me asking that question. No, I'm not. Right. It's not like, hey, fantasy analyst, ESPN, why aren't you using Kyle Pitts? I need fantasy points. It was just like a beat reporter, right? Someone just asked it's a perfectly reasonable question to wonder, and there's an answer there, right?
I have a theory, and this is the only theory that I have yet to see be proven wrong. So if somebody out there has evidence that suggests this is incorrect, please let me know. Do we know for a fact that Arthur Smith does not play fantasy football?
No.
Okay. Because if he does, is it possible that in each of his first 2 weeks, he played against the team? He plays multiple leagues that has Kyle Pitts.
I thought maybe there was a thing that they were going here, but now I feel
maybe
like
that's why.
That's it.
Maybe that's why he was thinking about fantasy. Fantasy was on his mind.
That's what I'm saying. Is that if someone can prove that that's not what happened, I'm open to it. But until then, I don't think we can entirely dismiss it.
I think there's at least as good of a chance that he may have tapped him in the parking lot with his car a la Meredith, a la The Office. And I think Arthur Smith is just upset about that, too.
All right.
All right, but let's talk about these. No offense to Alamide Zaccheaus and Bryant Edwards. When I see these guys on the list, my thought process goes to Drake London. And I know that Kyle Pitts is a tight end, but Kyle Pitts, because he's one of the main pass catchers. Obviously, he's not on this list. From that standpoint, but it was just a thing that I think about when I think about Falcons pass catchers.
And Pitts will see some of these corners, but as we've seen in the past, tight ends lining up against Corners is still a bad matchup, even like Gronk. I remember talking to Mina Kimes about this years ago when Gronk was in his prime, and it was like, well, how does he look in, you know, in line tight end or slot compared to perimeter? And his numbers were average for a receiver on the perimeter, right? Really? He just wasn't that dominant because corners are faster and they're really athletic and they're some of the best players on defense in the league, right? So he'll see some of these guys. I don't necessarily think that's a great matchup for him, but it is for Drake London, right? And he's obviously off to a great start this year. A third of the targets, almost 40% of the air yards. He's had two really good receiving lines. And so far we've played two games, right? Two games have been played. The following wide receivers have scored at least 11 points, fantasy points, against the Seahawks. Courtland Sutton, Jerry Judy, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. That's an average of two per game. And Drake London is going to be featured here. Hopefully the two per game this week are Drake London and Kyle Pitts.
That's right.
We'll see if that happens. Obviously, London has been terrific. You're playing him. He's playing against these young corners. It's a work in progress for Seattle right now. Again, week one, two, three, great matchup when you're playing against Seattle.
Do we think Drake London has officially earned status of just calling him Drake, like calling by his first name?
No, because there is a Drake, right? That's like when people call.
But just if he had, there's a chance that Drake could be covered by Michael Jackson on Sunday.
Oh, I see.
Two titans in the industry. Okay. Daniel's more the music guy than I am. I mean, I think Michael Jackson's probably the unquestioned greatest performer of all time.
All right, he's
the most famous musician of all time, right? He's got to be right in the top, I don't know, top two or three, right? You know, along with the Beatles and probably, I don't know, Elton John maybe. But
and if Justin Coleman's out, he's still not at practice, you're going to have Kobe Bryant covering Kyle Pitts too. So
see?
There's something there. You were trashing Thursday Night Football. See? All the stars are coming out for this one.
Oh, yeah, Falcons, a lot of stars. Seahawks. I love it. You know, my favorite thing is when all the stars come out for games that doesn't have an over-under above 40 points. That's one of the things that I love is stars in those games.
You know, the way the league has been, it'll be 47, 45.
That's what it's going to be. Yeah. You're not wrong. All right, we're going to talk with our good friend Adam Schefter in a second. But first, let's pay some bills, Field.
Do I get to start?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Early season roster decisions can make or break your fantasy season. Fantasy players need insights beyond who's starting and who's out as they approach upcoming games. You need to know players on the rise, favorable matchups, and flyers to jump ahead of the competition. On our show, we explore the storylines that impact your fantasy matchups. Fantasy football success relies as much on your quarterback's relationship with his receivers as it is on PPR. But how about this? St. Bonaventure University's online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism produces journalists comfortable with stats and storylines. This completely online degree was designed with insights from alums like ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Raina Banks. Plus, Tim Bontemps. Students learn how to report on sports in ethical and compelling ways. St. Bonaventure emphasizes digital storytelling that reveals the whole story about our favorite players and teams. Get in touch with an enrollment advisor today at sbujournalism.com and learn how you can become a sports journalist. That's sbujournalism.com.
Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. And right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. You bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued to opt-in. Money line bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
So right before, while you were doing your read, Daniel wanted to trade reads there, and you wanted to show off right there, didn't you?
No, I didn't want to show, off.
You were like, I want this. I'm taking it on today. I'm feeling good. I had a good breakfast.
You know what? Sometimes it is like that, though. It's like, give me the ball.
Your brain's working better.
It was like my Keyshawn moment. Just give me the ball.
You wanted it. He took it. He did.
Give me the damn ball.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, Mama Dop is going to...
Well done.
Good job. Oh, yeah. Wash your mouth out with soap, Daniel Dop.
Sorry about that, Field. All right, let's take a couple of social questions while we wait for our good friend Adam Schefter to join us, and we're going to throw it over to our buddy Kyle hanging out. Kyle, what we got in YouTube today?
We've got the usual. A lot of good people, a lot of good conversation going. We got a question here, and it's come up like 6 or 7 times over the last few days. Brady or Wentz this week? Who you got?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to make this decision? Because I actually have this dilemma.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Carson Wentz. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got Carson Wentz ahead of Tom Brady this week again. Yep. Some of the ingredients are really solid, right? I mean, 3 good wide receivers that we discussed a little bit earlier on. Yeah, it's a difficult matchup, no doubt. But not only, and we discussed this on yesterday's show a little bit as well, not only is there going to be no Mike Evans, there may be no Chris Godwin, there may be no Julio Jones on Sunday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's a philosophical shift, right? This is a team that all of a sudden went from pass to, when all things are equal, they're going to run the ball. So a run-heavier approach right now in Tampa Bay, plus the wide receiver injuries, I have Carson Wentz ahead of Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's really close. I think I have them probably back-to-back in my rankings. Just keep in mind, Carson Wentz coming off two, I think we're going to get to this shortly, but 2 really good matchups, much tougher one now against Philadelphia. So it is a close call for me.
It is a much tougher matchup for Carson Wentz, no doubt, than has been the first couple of weeks.
But it is for Brady, too.
Yeah.
Green Bay's defense is good.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that.
How about the fact that you guys say it's a close call? It's not a close call for me. Okay. I have Brady outside my top 12, but everything about this, if I have anybody, I've had people texting me, can I start Jared Goff over Tom Brady this week with the way that the Lions offense has looked? I'm not ready to go that far yet,
maybe.
The idea that people are even asking the question, Jared Goff versus the greatest quarterback that we have ever seen right now.
Right.
That's it.
You know what? You know what can help us break this tie, or at least help us educate on whether or not Tom Brady will have some of his key pieces in place, is the man who knows all. Mr. Adam Schefter. Good morning, Schefty. How are you?
Talking to the man who's in Variety, I'm honored. Thank you,
Fields. Wow. Schefty, I appreciate you very much. But let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers. No one wants to hear about me. Tom Brady, we know, will not have Mike Evans on Sunday. Do you have any sense as to whether he'll have some combination of Chris Godwin or Julio Jones?
Right now, it seems a little bit discouraging. Julio didn't practice yesterday. Chris Godwin, I think they want to be very careful with after the setback that he suffered on opening night. They obviously brought in Cole Beasley with the idea that they'll sign him to the active roster. Maybe Russell Gage can make it back this week. It might be one of those weeks that they just have to make it through without their full allotment of wide receivers. Thursday morning, don't have the full injury report for how it will be on Sunday morning, but at the very least, they're going to be down some guys going into this upcoming weekend's game against Green Bay.
Yeah, Breshad Perriman had 5 targets for them last week, Shefty. He found the end zone. All of a sudden, he could be a player that we're talking about come Monday morning. Let's talk about the Saints, though, as Alvin Kamara did not play this past week. They were in full pads yesterday. He was out there on the field. Does that suggest to you that he'll be available on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they did not view it as a multi-week absence last week when they held him out and didn't play him on Sunday against the Buccaneers. And that's what I was told over the weekend, that it wouldn't be multi-week. So the fact that it wasn't multi-week and he was back at practice yesterday, I think that bodes well for his availability on Sunday.
Yeah, so the Saints, after Alvin Kamara was out in week 2, turned to Mark Ingram. We saw some Tony Jones on Sunday as well. They do have Latavius Murray still on the practice squad. So they've got some other backs, but it would be great to see Kamara back in the fold. We have not seen George Kittle so far this year, Shefty, but there's a chance we'll see him in week 3, it sounds like. Do you expect that to happen?
That's my sense right now, Field. Again, it's hard to make definitive injury declarations on a Thursday morning, but my guess going in is that we will see George Kittle on Sunday. Again, when he went down, I remember talking to them and saying, oh, he's not going to play this week in the opener, right? And they said, I don't think he's playing next week either. Okay, so that always seemed to me to be the timeline for George Kittle. That it'll be a couple of weeks. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo is back at quarterback. They've got a big game on Sunday night against the Broncos. I just have a feeling that when they're out there, that George Kittle will give them another weapon. This is an offense now that's going to have to change back to what it was last year rather than what it was trying to be with Trey Lance. And to me, the 49ers right now go back to where they were last year, what you saw. And I think Kittle will be with them on Sunday night, would be my guess.
And Jeff, you've been about as on the mark as anybody, as it pertains to a lot of things. But certainly the 49ers and their backfield, dating all the way back to last year when you told us about Elijah Mitchell before I even knew his name. Last week you mentioned, hey, it's going to be Jeff Wilson, but we'll see some Tyrion Davis Price. He's now injured. He has a high ankle sprain. How do you expect the carries to shake out this week?
You know, here's the thing with them, Field. What I've come to learn about that offense is that I think they get carries from everybody, which is why it's hard to lean on any particular running back. Right now, you're going to have Jeff Wilson as a starter. But Deebo Samuel may have 5, 6, 7 carries. And Brandon Ayuk may have 2 or 3 carries. And they have other guys that they just mix in and do a lot of different things. Now, I do think that Jordan Mason probably will wind up being 2. But look, they promoted Marlon Mack this week from the practice squad to the active roster. Again, Thursday, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have the full injury updates and playing time projections a lot of times until closer to Sunday. But knowing what I know about their team, my guess is Wilson will start, and my guess would be that Mason will be the backup, but I won't be surprised if Marlon Mack gets mixed in there for a few carries as well.
Okay, so it's early in the week, one more time, so I'll just try one last injury update in case there's anything you've heard positively or negatively to prepare us for Sunday morning. That's Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts, who missed last week's game because of a quad injury.
Well, Field, that's one of my guys, right? You know my team. And my team is very disappointing right now for a lot of reasons that we could go into after this. But Michael Pittman was on my team last week and obviously checked into him and was told last week he was going to play. I was told he's going to play, that this is one of the toughest guys in the league, that he doesn't miss unless he isn't really capable of going. And sure enough, on Saturday, the Colts downgrade him. And obviously some people think that other wide receivers will come through, and I think Ashton Doolin would come through, but that's a topic for this Sunday show that we'll get into at that point in time. I would be surprised, again, if Michael Pittman were not out there this week, considering that the people I was talking to last week thought he would go before he was downgraded on Saturday. So he was back at practice yesterday, limited. I'll be surprised if Michael Pittman is not back there for Indianapolis this upcoming weekend.
Shefty, I've been doing long shots now for 2 weeks, and I realized that I tried to get way too cute the first 2 weeks of the season. I tried to go for the longest of long shots, not realizing there are a lot of players that are available in over 80% of leagues that have a role already. And I realized that I got a little bit in over my skis with Michael Strawn as my pick last week. You have a commanding 2-0 lead in long shots.
Well, you're like the Raiders and Titans. You're behind the eight ball. You got to win this week. You're facing an 0-3 deficit.
Yeah,
it's a long season. But again, you're down. You're just learning this, right? You'll learn long shots that can and can't come through. And so until then, I will continue to try to take advantage of you in the best ways possible, starting with last week with my pick of Ashton Doolin, who I think went for about, 12.5 points or so, something like that, which was a respectable long shot showing for us.
Yeah, it certainly was. Rookie mistakes right now, that's all. But, like, you know, Aiden Hutchinson was quiet week one. Then he had 3 sacks in the first half in week two. So maybe he'll have a bounce back week three. Let's talk about your teams, though, Shefty. What are some dilemmas you're facing this week that are giving you some frustrations at the moment?
Well, Phil, I am very down on my team right now. I'm going to confess. I'm looking ahead to the NBA season already. We have our NBA lottery on Sunday. I have, you know, listen, you know when you have a good team and when you don't. And there are certain things that just have not happened for me. Like, I took Kyle Pitts in round 2. I don't know what the hell is going on with Kyle Pitts, but he's not a second-round draft pick. Yeah. I took Darnell Mooney in round 5 or 6. That offense has been putrid.
Yeah.
I have another back, Khalil Herbert, that I have to play because the running back that I was counting on to be my number 2 running back, Kyren Williams, underwent ankle surgery after getting hit in the first quarter of the opening game. Who else has been terrible for me? Sky Moore hasn't developed as a wide receiver. George Pickens, as talented as he is, not doing anything to help per sources right now. So my team, I know, my team.
So here's the good news, Shefty. Is that I'm manifesting this for Kyle Pitts this week. Again, Sunday night, people will be talking about Kyle Pitts in a different light. I hope. I'm just trying to manifest it. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Wolf of Wall Street, but there's Matthew McConaughey who kind of thumps his chest throughout that movie on a couple different occasions. That's me thinking about Kyle Pitts this week. I think better days are ahead. Who do you have in the War Room League this week? Who are you facing?
The problem is I've got a terrible matchup this week, and I'm playing the Hasselbacks, and they've got it's bad for me. He's got Dalvin Cook against Detroit. He's got a few highly favorable matchups, and he's projected for like 127 points.
Okay.
So again, I'm staring at, like you, 0-3 in the long shot category. My team is a long shot right now.
Wow.
And again, like I said, I am on to the NBA. Now, again, we'll continue to do maybe hopefully some, you know, DFS. We have another fancy football league. There are other things we can do, but I got to tell you something. It ain't easy.
I don't like seeing you in these spirits, Shefty. Every once in a while, I make a call that works out. And I think Kyle Pitts, having a big week this week. It's just a, it's a gut call because there's certainly no evidence of the first 2 weeks on the field that he should have a breakout week in week three. I just am old enough to remember when at 20 years old, he became one of the best rookie tight ends ever. Yeah. So I would like to see that this Sunday.
Well, I thought that last week with last week I had Pitts, Darnell Mooney, Devontae Smith. I thought, well, they, all three of them, they're definitely bouncing back this week.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, I kind of figured would, and he did.
Yeah.
Mooney, bad. And Pitts, no good. So, again, in our league, in a 16-team league, if your wide receivers are not coming through, you're done. And so I can accept that. Again, my picks have not worked out. It's not one of my better War Room League teams. I've had some good teams. I've had some lesser teams. This is going to be one of those lesser teams.
I just figured it out, though. I just figured it out. The only time that Kyle Pitts has ever scored a touchdown in the NFL was about 5,000 miles from Atlanta.
In London,
this weekend,
right?
Yes, that's correct. This weekend, they play about 5,000 miles away from Atlanta in Seattle. So maybe he just needs to be as far away from home as he possibly can to find the end zone. I'm just trying to make it happen here, Shefty. We appreciate you as always, and I'm sending lots of good luck your way, except for when it comes to long shots on Sunday morning.
Well, that's going to be my pride and joy this year. That's what I'm going to take pride in. That's where my victories, unfortunately, going to have to come. And again, we talk about Kyle Pitts. Just one last note. Arthur Smith, over the weekend, said he doesn't care about fantasy football. He cares about getting wins. Well, guess what? To get wins, you have to help us in fantasy football, right? That's how it works. If Kyle Pitts isn't producing, their chances of winning are going down. In two games, Kyle Pitts hasn't produced, and the Falcons haven't won a game yet. So nobody's winning right now. Nobody. Let's try something where we get the football to Kyle Pitts and make it happen.
I am going to clip that segment right there. I'm going to send it to Flowery Branch, Georgia, or wherever they're practicing this week. Maybe they say it on the West Coast. And make sure that the Falcons know. Kyle Pitts must score 20 fantasy points this week.
Let me repeat. Arthur Smith doesn't care about fantasy football. So that clip, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Okay? He's going to do what he's going to do to win that game. And by the way, if he doesn't do anything this week, I would be very disappointed and very upset. And if he doesn't do anything, they may not win in Seattle. Like, he's their best offensive player. You got to have your best offensive player make plays to win games. He's not making plays.
It should not be that difficult. And I really like Arthur Smith, too. So it's tough for me to see him, A, poo-poo fantasy football, and B, not throw the football to Kyle Pitts. Shefty, you're the best. Even if right now you don't feel like your teams are, I have confidence in you, and you got to believe.
Well, we are turning our attentions to Long Shot Sunday and our NBA Draft Lottery on Sunday as well.
Here we go. NBA Draft Lottery, Long Shots on Sunday. We can't wait. Shefty, we'll talk to you again. Same time, same place next week. And then also twice, Sunday mornings, Fantasy Football Now.
Thank you, guys.
All right, I got a feeling. I just think his teams are turning around.
I just got to be honest. I love that Adam is all of us, too. Like
He's all of us.
He feels it. And at the same point, watching Adam, because this is one of the things not lost on me, in a 16-team league, if your team is bad,
oh my God, it's the worst feeling.
It's tough, and you know it. And like it feels like Adam knows. I feel that from him as he's talking about it, and it sucks because you want so badly to not feel like 2 weeks into the season in a 16-team league, boy, it's going to be real tough for me to find an even way to be 500 this year.
Man, it should not influence our emotions as much as it does.
Oh, man.
But I'm here to tell you, it influences our emotions.
Of course. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about some early week three previews.
Let's do it.
How
Good
does that sound,
here.
Guys?
That sounds great.
Let's talk. First one, Lions at weird. Vikings.
Oh, weird. Start with the Lions.
I'm not going to be here on the Friday show, so I figured why not talk
exactly. about Exactly. That's why we should do it tomorrow, bit. So you don't have your biased takes.
Oh, look at those Lions. DeAndre Swift, running back 7. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 7 on the week. Dalvin Cook right now ranked as running back 3, Justin Jefferson wide receiver 2. We have 4 guys ranked inside the top 10 in one of the highest scoring games so far this year. The projection right now, the over under is 52.5. No injuries. It doesn't look like that's going to be a major factor leading into this game. The first conversation, Mike, I think really starts with, if we're talking about the Detroit Lions, you're starting Swift, you're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. Is TJ Hockenson still a start at tight end position? 7 targets both weeks, but the production has been disappointing in spite of that volume.
Yeah, it has, but I think you stick with him, right? The yardage totals have not been there, but he has 7 targets in both games. He has a 20% target share. That's roughly the same as last year when he was at 21%. Okay, so in terms of volume going his direction, it's about the same as what we saw. That's a good sign. He's been, it's not like he was just a fluke for a couple weeks last season. He's been seventh in points per game the past two seasons, yep. right? So he has been a good, reliable tight end one. This offense is playing pretty well so far, obviously. They've been terrific. They have a good offensive line. I know they have other mouths to feed, but again, his target share has been the same. So he will have touchdown opportunities. And honestly, I think this is a decent matchup as far as we can dive into matchups early in the season.
Yeah.
Vikings allowed, they've allowed the fourth most yards to tight end so far, 5 for 82 to Goddard and 5 for 64 to the Packers tight ends as well. So I think he gets back on track this week as long as that volume stays the same.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
About Amon-Ra St. Brown and Justin Jefferson.
Sure.
Playing this super deep league. And I'm playing against them this weekend.
Both of them.
So you know they're going off.
Honestly, if you're playing against Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're probably good.
You're in trouble. Which, by the way, that's a very viable thing that could happen, right? Like, based off where they went ADP?
Totally. Yes. Yeah, that's crazy. Field, I know I made a joke about this earlier. Jared Goff is not yet in the streaming conversation for me, but this Lions offense has been way better than expected. And I know it's easy to make jokes about Jared Goff as a fantasy quarterback.
I'm not going to lie to you. I am starting him in the league.
Are you really?
It's an interesting, it's a 12 team league and it's 6 point passing touchdown. Okay, so almost everybody drafted multiple quarterbacks.
Six points really drops rushing. Not really. It drops rushing quarterbacks a little bit, really gives a bump to those passing quarterbacks.
And my QB1, I loaded up on running backs, wide receivers and tight ends in this draft. And I ended up with Trey Lance as my starting quarterback. So I did not have, so, you know, 2 weeks into the season, obviously you're swimming for another option. Jared Goff was my pick this week. We'll see. But you know, he's played effectively. I think that with Jared Goff, I always think of him as like, he probably got a little bit overrated during his time in Los Angeles and got overpaid. Then he gets traded to Detroit and he probably gets a little bit underrated. He's sort of like right in that middle tier of quarterbacks in the NFL, probably like somewhere between like the 18th and 20th best quarterback, right, in the league, somewhere around there. For fantasy purposes, though, he's got really good weapons. The matchups doesn't scare me. And they've been throwing the football and playing a ton of offensive snaps. A
lot.
So I think I'm not a perfect ideal streaming option, but a reasonable streaming option.
Yep. Understand that.
I mean, in a deep league with like with other, I've got him as quarterback 18. I'm not super optimistic.
Of course. I do want to see it one more week though. If this offense looks good again against Minnesota, then it becomes, maybe he becomes a streaming, a viable streaming option as we go a little bit further.
We need to see better play, frankly, because even his rate stats were not good last year and they're worse this year. His YPA is down. His completion percentage is way down. He's been a little bit more aggressive. But he has also zero with his legs, and that's going to crush him.
In my 6 point passing touchdown league,
that helps a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
we'll see. I'm wondering if
desperate times, Mike. I'm trying to reverse jinx this.
I get it, but you know, we'll see if the wheels stay on here.
Let's talk about Kirk Cousins. Detroit's allowed the third most quarterback fantasy points this season. Is he a must start because of Kirk Cousins and this offense, Mike, or is this just a matchup situation?
He's a streamer. I have him ninth on my board. He doesn't have a top 10 yet this season, but he was a fringe. He was basically a streamer last season, right? A fringe quarterback one.
Yeah.
The Lions have allowed 25 plus points to Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz. And we expected that going in. We loved Hurts in week one. We loved Wentz as a streamer last week. It's hard not to like Cousins here for a bounce back week against Detroit.
We talked about Adam Thielen yesterday on the show as a part of start bench cut segment that we have. And you've got Adam Thielen at wide receiver 45 heading into week three, in spite of what seems like a nice matchup against the Detroit secondary.
Yeah, it is. And he's played 96% of the snaps. So he has been on the field. The problem is he has 11 targets and 88 yards. And his last double digit fantasy point game was week 12 last season, right? He's just been beat up, or the volume hasn't been there. Actually, if you look at last season, I thought this was kind of interesting. Through week two last year, he had 3 touchdowns and 15 touches. So far this year, 0 touchdowns, 7 touches. So they have to get the ball in his hands more often. Remember, he's 32, 33 years old now. Are we going to start seeing him trail off a little bit, right? We saw 8 targets for Irv Smith last week. He wasn't there last year. So some concerns, enough for me to knock him down to more of a borderline flex.
I think that's, for me, this is that next question. Irv Smith went from basically 0 targets week one, 8 targets in week two, ran 29 routes, little CSS DFS tees. I think we got a Monday night discount on Irv Smith at the tight end position if you want to talk about daily fantasy.
Yeah, snaps went up last week, which is a good sign for sure. He could have had, there would have been a lot of Irv Smith hype this week.
If he didn't drop that
wide open touchdown. I know there was a defender kind of like blocking his way, like, but went right in his chest. If he catches that, he scores, what, a 73-yard touchdown?
Right.
That would have changed perspectives for sure.
Could be a lot of points scored in this game. So somebody that, I mean, I like a lot of the fantasy options here. For both Lions and the Vikings. Let's talk about Bears and Texans. Not as many fantasy options in this game. You've got Brandon Cooks from the Texans. You've got David Montgomery from the Bears. I think those are the only two obvious lineup locks for either team from that standpoint.
It's so bad. Our graphic, it just has the logo for our show in the middle.
Because we don't have enough players.
There's no third player to be a lineup lock.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, you know who would have been a lineup? I feel like Darnell Mooney was the guy have been the lineup lock.
He should have been. Should have been.
3 weeks into the season. Mike, we obviously were benching him at this point. We talked about him on the show yesterday. Field said, I'm benching him, but I'm not cutting him because his talent is too good.
Yes.
You're good with that?
I agree with that. 90% of the snaps and 82% of the pass routes so far. So he's been on the field. It's not like he's been demoted or anything like that. Right. He only used the 4 targets, but I will say this. Week 1, played San Francisco, tough matchup in a monsoon, right? Yep. So we kind of are like, all right, we can accept that. And then last week, less acceptable to have a 2-target game and a dud, but they were playing the Packers, who have one of the best secondaries in the NFL, right? So that was a really tough matchup. So maybe that at least gives me hope. It's not like they played Detroit, right? Like at least the conditions have been really tough so far. And they've been extremely run heavy to the extent that it's not sustainable. Like they're off the charts run heavy. It's not going to happen. The game scripts won't allow it. Common sense play calling won't allow it. They'll fix that to some extent. They're still going to be run heavy, but to some extent, I think Mooney at least has a shot to bounce back.
And I think the reason why we're not super optimistic it'll happen this week is one, A, like the mental processing, if he goes for another dud, would just be too much to overcome.
Yeah.
And B, if there is a game where maybe they can throw the ball 20 times, it might be against the Texans, right? This is not going to be a game where you expect it to be 31-28 final. You expect it to maybe be 17-14.
Yeah.
The Texans have played some gritty defense.
I was going to say,
I like kind of like both of these defenses as a streaming option this week, by the way.
Your favorite gritty defenses, Houston and Chicago,
those
right?
Those are my two favorite gritty defenses. Listen, I've nailed my calls in week one upsets back-to-back years. So don't give me crap on that.
You have.
It was Texans over Jags, and it was Bears over 49ers.
I remember the Texans one because I was like giving you credit for that like 6 weeks later, and you thought I was making fun of you because they just fell apart after that. And I was actually giving you credit. You just couldn't take the compliment because it was a good start that just fell apart.
Is there anyone else? So not Damian starting Pierce. Cole Kmet. I'm not starting anyone else from the Bears.
Nope.
Damian Pierce is the only other guy that.
Yeah, I think Damian Pierce deserves some mention here. He had the 37-21 snap edge over Rex Burkhead this past week after a 49-19 snap deficiency to Rex Burkhead in week one. Lovie Smith kind of called that shot last week in the middle of the week. I wasn't sure whether Lovie was just giving us coach speak or if he was being sincere. He has followed that up with more compliments from Damian Pierce for Damian Pierce this week, which makes me feel like he'll have a comparable role this week. I do think Rex Burkhead will still probably always play somewhere between 30, 35, maybe 40% of the snaps in a given week, which is why Damian Pierce is a reasonable flex option. Probably needs to find the end zone to really pay off.
Yeah, all 15 of their running back carries went to Pierce, which is a good sign, but only 15 routes. 15 carries and ran 15 routes, only 2 targets. They're not using him in the passing game yet, and they're turning to Burkhead in those situations. And we saw that.
They're valuable.
Pierce was dominating the snaps in the first half. And then, you know, there were situations where they had to like get down the field and score. Right. And where'd Pierce go? Suddenly it was Burkhead caught all the way up to him, or not all the way up to him, but played a sizable number of snaps in the second half. So, a little nervous about that. He's not quite polished yet, which isn't a surprise considering how little volume he had in college. So again, we have him ranked as a flex. That's about where he belongs right now. There is limited upside for the time being.
Let's talk Bengals and Jets. The lineup locks that we have for this game include Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. Looks like nobody from the Jets is a lineup lock here. Let's talk about Joe Burrow, though. I mean, 3 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions this season. If you've watched any of these games, it has been tough. If you've just looked at the box score, you don't realize how tough it actually is. But watching these games has been awful. I'm trusting him one more week. Not just his talent, but the talent that he has and the wide receivers around him. Where are you guys at on Joe Burrow this year?
Yeah, this week. Yeah, as we'll get to here, this is the game of unrealized fantasy points so far this season because the opportunity to score them has been outstanding. In fact, Joe Burrow is number one in the entire NFL, all positions in expected fantasy points.
Wow.
He has 110 dropbacks that leads the NFL. Only has 3 touchdowns to show for it. 0 top 10 fantasy weeks. Sacks are up from last year. The Jets don't get much pressure, so
they're
that should...
Sacks are up. They fixed that.
Yes, sack rate is up, which is kind of shocking. The tackles just aren't playing well enough right now. But the Jets don't really get pressure as well, so that may bail him out to some extent. And I'll just mention this. You know, his average depth of throw is down this year. His yards per pass attempt was an extremely good rate. He was best in the NFL last year. We talked all offseason that was going to come down. It has plummeted down to 6.0 this season. That will bounce back. This situation is too good.
Yeah.
I have Mixon, I have Burrow 8th on my board. I do think he gets back on track this
week. Breakout week. I've got him as quarterback 7 this week. Okay. I'm very confident that Joe Burrow is the real deal, and I think he shows it this week. The Jets are a frisky defense, but maybe not quite there with that pass rush to overwhelm Cincinnati in the same way that both Dallas and Pittsburgh, who, by the way, like if you're talking about like individual pass rushers right now, if we're starting from scratch, TJ Watt and Micah Parsons, they might be number one and two if you're doing a draft of pass rushers right now, right? Yeah. There's some other great ones, but those are two of the very best. They have tormented that Bengals offensive line through the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
Field, I want to talk about these running backs. You got both Michael Carter and Breece Hall. Both of them are being pretty well utilized in this uber elite Joe Flacco-led offense. Which one do you like more in week three?
Yeah, Michael Carter, I think, pretty clearly playing way more snaps, more consistent role in the passing game. I know that Hall had all those targets in week one, but Carter has back-to-back games with at least five catches. He's going to be the first man in. He's going to get rushing opportunities. Joe Flacco does seem to like to throw to the running backs, and while 59 and then 44 passing attempts is going to be hard to replicate week over week over week for Joe Flacco, he might get close to it this week, right? I mean, the Bengals can really score the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a sneaky shootout game, even if the Jets are playing from behind late in it. I have Carter, RB19. I have Breece Hall as RB39.
Yeah, I'm pretty much aligned there. Carter dominated the snaps, more than doubled up Hall. He played a lot, handled way more of the passing down work without getting into the numbers. Carter's been top 25 2 weeks in a row. You're starting him. Hall should be on benches. I will say this, though. The Jets tied for dead last in the NFL with one carry inside the 15-yard line so far. So it's going to be hard to score touchdowns for these guys.
Love them big
limits
plays.
Their ceiling. Yep. Hall on your bench. Carter in your lineup.
If they are down and they have to throw, Garrett Wilson is somebody that should be utilized a bunch. Mike, I know you loved Garrett Wilson coming into the season. The Jets, you already said this, more pass attempts than anyone else in the league right now. He had 30 fantasy points in week two. Will you guarantee an encore performance in week three for Garrett Wilson?
No, I won't.
No, come on.
No, I won't do that. I'm not going to guarantee anything. This is fantasy football.
Clarity.
Not guarantee.
Clarity.
I'm especially not doing that. Well, that puts my name on it. Like, why? That's even worse, right?
All right. Well, what do you like about Garrett Wilson?
But I will say this. I said Joe Burrow is number one in the whole NFL in expected fantasy points. Guess who's number two? Garrett Wilson, believe it or not. Yes, he is number two with 54 expected points. So he's actually underachieved his usage so far. Number one in expected touchdowns with 3.5. That means your expected touchdown total based on where you're targeted on the field. No one else is above 2.6. I mean, this is it's basically a historic start in this category. Dominating the category, tied with Jamar Chase for first in end zone targets. He's ninth in overall targets. The problem is, he's playing half the snaps. He's technically still third on their depth chart. Elijah Moore, Corey Davis ahead. And Braxton Berrios was limited last week, too. So he's basically 3-4. They're going to have a hard time keeping him off the field. But
that's a thing.
He could. What if he just has the four-target game because they're stubborn and use these other guys? And, you know, it could
happen.
I hope they're not. But still, we're ranking him as a wide receiver three.
Yeah. By the way, I love it. Like, this is the most promising Jets rookie in a long time. And Mike's first thought, and I know that it was the different context, but you're like, yeah, he's underachieving relative to expected fantasy points. But Jets fans are literally like, they're getting tattoos of Garrett Wilson. Like, they're building a statue outside the stadium. And Mike is like, well, he's underachieving per his fantasy point opportunities.
I spent the whole offseason telling people to skip Elijah Moore and take Garrett Wilson.
You did.
Five rounds later.
I wrote about that in Fantasy Field Pass. You got a hat tip today.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate
I'm sure you've read it.
I was reading your variety piece. I didn't get a chance to read that one. Wow. I'll get to that later.
A lot of content today.
All right,
let's talk one more game. Eagles at Commanders. Lineup blocks for this one seem pretty easy, guys. I think it's pretty simple. Jalen Hurts, obviously in your lineup. A.J. Brown looks fantastic so far. And Antonio Gibson getting a ton of volume in the Commanders' offense. When I'm looking at these running backs, Mike, Miles Sanders is the guy. Not has yet to reach 100
Let's
yards
go.
Rushing. However, this rushing offense looks fantastic. 35 touches is 10th in the NFL. Is he good enough for a low-end flex play in spite of the fact
Sanders?
Spite of the fact that Jalen Hurts not only runs the ball a ton, but steals what seems like all of the goal line.
But he doesn't, though. I would say low-end RB2, not necessarily flex. I think Sanders is trending up. He's top 12 in touches, yards, and fantasy points. And he actually has three carries inside the five. Hurts has two, and I feel like I might have that backward. But either way, it's like 3-2 in carries inside the five. So they've both actually gotten that usage near the goal line. The only problem you have with Sanders, I mean, efficiency's not a problem as a rusher. Efficiency's always been good. The volume's been good. He's just not good in the passing game. And I'm wondering if at some point they're going to stop using him in that role. Kenny Gainwell looks good there. 15 yards on five targets so far. Terrible efficiency. This is years of this. So that's my concern with him. But for now, we're starting him. This offense is too good. The O-line's too good. He's playing too well.
Yep. Field, I'm looking at Devonta Smith. really tough in week one. Week two, he came on and was quite a bit better, caught all seven of his targets. Based on those first 2 weeks, it's tough to be able to figure out which way you're going in week three. Is he a flex play for you, or is he on your bench?
He's a low-end flex play for me, consideration in a deeper league. I think the problem is that we did get the bagel in week one, and that was only three targets. It seems like A.J. Brown is the clear, only Eagles wide receiver that's going to get work every single week, no matter what. Dallas Goedert's got a role in this passing game, and then I'm sure Mike could talk about this much better than I can, but have we seen an end zone target for Devontae Smith through two games yet?
I don't think he's had one, no. I believe his expected total is like 0.01. He just haven't. But I will say this.
He's really a good player.
He's really good. And his ADOT's been cut in half from last year. It was like all vertical. I think he was eighth in average depth of target. It's like 7.8 this year. So that could be good in PPR. If he gets a 20% target share and it's short range stuff, that could help in PPR. So we'll see.
Let's talk about Dallas Goedert too. I mean, eight catches.
I think he's a lineup block, don't you?
For 142 yards a season. At this point, I think he is. That's the third most receiving yards from any tight end in the NFL, Dallas Goedert. And only eight catches, which is the only part that's tough. Yeah. But he's being utilized in this game, and he's stretching the field.
It's twice as many as Kyle Pitts. It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. Like, unless you have Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce, you're sitting here and you're like, dude, I would break laws for eight catches for my tight end, right?
In the playbook, he'll be a lineup block for sure. The only thing is he doesn't get work near the goal line. We needed that to pick up. He had two end zone targets all last season. Yeah. He hasn't been used there this year so far. I'd like to see more of that, but overall receiving production talent have been good.
Carson Wentz has been a top five quarterback in both of the weeks so far this year. Are you going back to the well here in week three? Can he be another starter, another top 10 quarterback for you this week?
I think he comes back to earth, right? Remember where we drafted him this year. The offense 29. Has been good. Right. Really low. I think he'll come back to earth. Remember, he faced Jacksonville and Detroit. The Eagles are this year allowing 5.3 yards per attempt. Yeah. They allowed a total of 24 fantasy points to Goff and Cousins. I don't know. I think he falls back to where we kind of expected a mid-range quarterback to.
Two of his top five games of his career have come this season. You don't think this is a new version of Carson Wentz we're seeing then?
A new version this late in his career? I don't think so. I mean, the offense is underrated and good. You know, again, I mentioned this and I'll say this quickly. The reason we weren't higher on this offense in the offseason was everyone was hurt, right? Yeah. We just didn't know. Like Dotson was a question mark. He was new. Samuel was hurt. Logan Thomas was hurt. But they have some talent there. So maybe he sneaks in and finishes QB9 this year. But I think we have to be more reasonable considering the schedule they open the year with.
And we discussed the wide receivers. For those of you who are saying, wait, they aren't lineup blocks? Well, we had Terry McLaurin right around wide receiver 20 and Curtis Samuel a little bit lower on the board right there, noting from Mike that Terry McLaurin could very well draw a Darius Slay shadow, as has happened four times over the past couple of years.
Correct.
For the record, I have Curtis Samuel ranked ahead of Terry McLaurin this week. I think I'm the only one.
Not super spicy, though.
Is that crazy
to you guys?
No. Now, when you have 20 touches in two games, you have to be a lineup block, right?
I said on the show yesterday, unless Washington, for reasons that will be inexplicable, changes their mind and how they're going to utilize Curtis Samuel, he deserves to be in your lineup every week right now.
Last player, if you need a tight end, Logan Thomas has looked pretty good through the first 2 weeks, Mike. If he's someone that you're looking at, a low-end streamer for us, a low-end tight end one.
Yeah, 10th of tight end in yards and expected touchdowns. It's always high. He's a converted quarterback, but he's a very athletic player. He's 12th fringe tight end one.
Yep. All right. We got Squirrel Stock coming up next. But first, we're going to pay some bills. Mike Clay.
All right. We're going to talk about Miller, right?
Yes, right.
You mean Miller like Mike, right? Because I'm talking about Miller. Football season brings back many traditions we know and love. Touchdown dances, the pick six, game-winning field goals, and watching it all with friends and a cooler full of Miller Lite. Or a pool full of Miller Lite if you're Mike Clay. Hey, that's me. The action on the field is reliable year after year. Pair it with the most reliable light beer. Every Sunday, game time is Miller time. The dependable taste, the low calorie count. I love it all. It's the perfect beer for football. Really, it's the perfect beer for any time, because with enough effort, any time can be Miller time. Don't I know that?
Yep.
It's a beer drinker's light beer with only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving. Your only concern is the next third down conversion. And Miller Lite tastes like beer, because if you're a beer lover, you don't want watered-down flavor. You want the original light beer. Football season brings back the big hits, so reach for the biggest hit of them all, Miller Lite. You can find Miller Lite pretty much everywhere beer is sold, or go to MillerLite.com/FFF for delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with your homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is such an easy choice. So today, and see all the ways that you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. All right.
Squirrel stock.
We're talking week 3 squirrel stock here. My first squirrel stock tip is on Tom Brady. Stock down. Week 3, he's my quarterback 13. He's quarterback 30 on the season. I am panicked. Mike Evans suspended for this game. Chris Godwin and Julio Jones did not practice on Wednesday. I'm going to see a heavy dosage of Leonard Fournette in this Bucs offense on Sunday. I am benching Tom Brady in week 3. And I'm going to reassess in week 4 once I hopefully have more of his skill position players left. Are you buying or selling that squirrel stock tip on Tom Brady?
I think I'll bounce back, but for now, I agree. I mean, I think you got to try to bench him if you can.
Yeah, I'm buying that for this week.
Yeah.
I got him outside my top 10 as well.
All
scary
right.
matchup, and again, mm-hmm. all the uncertainty with the wide receivers. Yeah.
Second piece of squirrel stock tip, Elijah Moore. I'm going stock down. Here's the good. The Jets have the most pass attempts in the league, the most completions in the league. The bad. Through 2 games, he has less targets than Garrett Wilson, than Corey Davis, than Michael Carter, and Ty Conklin. And he only has 1 more target than Breece Hall. I am benching him in week 3, but not dropping him just in case. I need to see what this offense is going to look like. But if someone, he's gotten too much value to be able to just completely let go. Stock mm-hmm. down with the way that Garrett Wilson has just taken over this offense, though. You buying or selling that tip on Elijah Moore?
I mean, I got to be honest with you. This one's a tough one for me to buy. He's really, really talented. And the passing attempt volume has been so good. Mike already mentioned a few minutes ago that at least at this point, Garrett Wilson's been playing a lot less snaps, a lot fewer snaps than Elijah Moore. I'm holding steady here.
Yeah, I agree. He's 41st on my board, so he's not as secure as he was coming into the season, but still a flex option.
Oh, okay, so his stock is down from where he was coming into the season.
Okay, yeah, but you said you're benching him. You said you're benching him where I'm more iffy.
You're not benching him in week 3, okay.
It's not a bench lock. It's he's not a lineup lock. Let's put it that way.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
You can consider him.
All right, 2 more. I got Saquon Barkley, Mike Clay. I know you're going to love this one. Stock up. He is my running back 6 in week 3. Week 1, 18 rushes, 164 yards, and a touchdown. 6 catches for 30 yards. That's 24 opportunities, 33.4 fantasy points. Week 2, 21 rushes, 72 rushing yards. Only 3 catches for 16 yards. Only 11.8 fantasy points. That's 22-point swing. But I'm saying stock up. Why? Why am I saying stock up, Mike Clay?
It should be stock down because 3.4 yards per carry, 4 yards per target last week. He's down from week 1. He had a huge week 1, back down.
And that is wrong because it is volume. 24 opportunities each of the 2 weeks he's used in the running game. He's used in the passing game.
Yeah.
He's used when they're ahead, which is not very often, by the way.
They're 2-0.
He's
hater.
That's,
One of 7 undefeated teams.
Still,
right?
He's used in the passing game when they are down. He's at the goal line. Saquon Barkley is everything that this offense is, and the wide receivers are terrible on this team right now. He is this offense. Stock up on Saquon. I don't know how much higher you could go on Saquon Barkley with how he's been playing to start the season.
Yeah. His stock isn't up because it's always been up. That's what I tried to tell you last season, and here we are.
Oh, so, wow.
If he didn't step on that guy's foot, I'm telling you.
All right, last one I have.
Still
Aaron Rodgers. Stock down. Major stock down for Aaron Rodgers. In week 3, he is my quarterback 17. He's quarterback 28 in total points. Outside the top 20 in pass attempts, the Packers' focus is on Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have a single wide receiver that's established themselves through either of the first 2 weeks. From this standpoint, it's not just the first 2 weeks. They had all of offseason. They had all of training camp. They had the preseason to find a wide receiver that would establish themselves as Aaron Rodgers' guy.
Yeah.
I do not see it. I am benching him until I see a better matchup. Mm-hmm. Or there is some more. I just see more production from him in future weeks. He is on my bench for the future. I am not starting him in week 3, in week 4, in week 5 until I see something more from this Packers team.
I don't know who they play in week 4, week 5, so I'm going to hold my evaluation until then. But for week 3, I'm avoiding. I mean, I have him in one lineup and he has been benched because they play the Buccaneers, who have scored a touchdown on defense this year, and they have allowed a touchdown on defense this year. Might be the nastiest defense in the league, plus all the wide receiver concerns.
Yeah, Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, Cooper Rush, if you add up all their fantasy points scored against the Bucs so far, it is 14.7.
Per game? Per quarter?
No, per total.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's been a struggle. I agree. Rodgers 15th. Might be a guy I swung and missed on in the offseason. We'll see. I think he, maybe a slow start, and then he gets rolling.
Name game. One player name game. Aaron Rodgers or Mitch Trubisky?
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett and Jordan Love.
Rodgers will bounce. Rodgers bouncing back. He's coming back.
Yeah. No we'll way. See. I'll take Mitch.
Maybe not this week. Not this week. I'm saying down the road, he'll get it going.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We have CSS DFS coming up next in your feed if you want. Also available on YouTube for Friday's show. Field, Mike, and Stefania bringing you all the information that you need, all the injury breakdowns. Check with us on Friday. We love you guys. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you then.
You straight up wouldn't trade Aaron Rodgers for Mitch Trubisky.
Seriously, what's wrong? I mean, I thought about it for 1 second.
Have you looked at the contracts, though? No. Like you could save a bunch of money.
Look,
you could
have
Mitch
take?
Trubisky.
I'm going to tweet this out.
Who went first in the draft? 2000. Wow. Trubisky was second overall.
Oh, he got drafted
wow.
earlier.
Wow.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try. A Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. With projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's my clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.